Week, and we've been going through, continuing to talk about the resurrection. Last week, I mentioned that the resurrection creates problems, and the resurrection created problems from the very onset and even to today, but we talked about why that's true, and I think that some of us need to come to terms and understand and be strengthened in the reality that the resurrection creates problems for some people. But this morning, what I want you to consider is that the resurrection matters. And what I want to do is I want to take some time this morning to go back and look at some of the exact same verses from Philippians and from Romans that we talked about last week. But I also hope that some of you can learn, if you were here last week for our study, that you can see how amazing the Word of God is. Now, a lot of books you read, I see a lot of people that when they read a book, they'll read a book and then they'll give it to somebody else because they read it, they got it, they know it, it's there. And yet the Scripture, the living Word of God, is not that way. You can read a passage, and some of you, we have all different levels represented here this morning. Some of you, you're kind of intimidated by the Bible and you're a little bit standoffish. Some of you have started reading it. Others of you have started reading it and studying it. And so this morning, what I want to hopefully model and show you is that you can have the same passage and you can read it one week and then you can read it the next week and you're like, whoa, where was that? And you have, it's like it's alive. It's like it, you see nuances or you focus on different words and you get different applications and meanings from it. And so last week, and I'm just going to tell you right off the bat, I waited the last service and I've just, like, I got to tell you up front that the same verses as we're going through, but I'm going to be highlighting different portions that we did last week. What kept screaming to me for the last several weeks is this word identity. Even as we talked about and we went through some of the words and some of the meanings last week, what really kept coming out to me was this whole concept of identity. And even last week as we were studying, I just hope that we can slow down and we can learn to meditate on the words of Scripture and the Bible, because it's incredible how the Holy Spirit guides us into all truth. John chapter 16, verse 13, if you want to write that down and look that up later. Briefly mentioned last week that the power of the resurrection is activated in our lives as we pursue three aspects of activation. And these three things are super important. And I can see these three qualities in people that are growing in their pursuit of Christ. And then I can see these three things missing in people's lives that are kind of like, oh, I just don't feel like God is there, and I'm not sure. Three simple words, and let me give them to you, but growth, change, and freedom. These are three characteristics that I see in anybody that has the Spirit of God activated in their lives, that there is a level of growth, there's a level of change, and then there's a level of freedom. Now, this morning, I want to just say that the resurrection matters to those of us who believe, and it should. Now, what I'm going to do is in Philippians chapter 3, thank you, Catherine, for putting the scripture up for everybody. I'm going to be reading from the New King James, but I'm not going to read every verse this morning, because what I want to do is I want to highlight some more certain words, and I want to show you the impact and why that I saw identity as we're reading through the scripture. So in Philippians chapter 3, I'm going to begin reading a portion of verse 8. And I talked about it last week, but it says, "For the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord." For the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. Now, I do want to just mention this because I think it's so important that this is, and so many times that it's easy in our culture to make this like an academic informational knowledge. But I want to use my wife as an example. I got to see her for the first time in college. And when I first saw her, she grabbed my attention. Guys, you understand what I'm saying? She got my attention. And so then, like, when we went to school, it wasn't all the automated, like, swipe, buzz, put things in front. We had old school. We had, like, meal cards. and you kept track of everything manually. So when she was the person at the front of the cafeteria that when you came in, before you got your meal, that you'd have to show your student ID. So I was so just like mesmerized by her that when I would go through line, I would just kind of like whip out my ID and kind of show it to her and move on, because I didn't want to put myself out there. I didn't want her to look at me in any shape, form, or fashion that I might interpret as rejection, because then little Timmy would be crushed inside. So, you know, that's how, like, she got my attention. So then as we began, there was an introduction, and her brother was my roommate. I'm not as stupid as you think I am. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Back door works. Anyway, so we started talking, and, you know, I got to know her. I got to know her personality. And this is the reason I bring this up. Because the knowledge was experiential and it was relational. It wasn't me standing back and trying to interview 15 people that were friends with her and amass all this information and never talk to her, never interact with her. It was this relational knowledge. So I want you to focus on this relational knowledge here, because I think that it's so important what the scripture's talking about here. For the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord. And at the end of that verse and beginning in verse 19, that I may gain Christ and be found in him. Do you understand? We're not talking about intellectual attainment here. We're talking about, what is it saying here? That I may gain Christ and be found in him. Do you understand? The power of these words and the principles that are being shared here, that we would literally be found in him. This is not just attendance. This is not just showing up. This is a relational interaction to actually be found in Christ. Let's jump down to verse 16. Oh, no, verse 10, sorry. That I may know him. Know him. Some of you, it's easy from perception. You see somebody, you've heard other people say something about him, and you think, oh, yeah, I know that person. But you haven't talked to him. You haven't spent time with him. You haven't interacted with him. And then sometimes we get placed in situations where we're forced into that, and we walk away going, man, I really like that guy. Why? Because you got to know him. And what Paul's saying here to the Philippian church, that I may know him. This is relational. Verse 16, nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind. So because of this experiential relationship, it's able to be passed on to other people so that there's a connection. Pastor Chris, he's a little bit younger than I am, if you haven't noticed. We have some multi-generational removal, several generations. Okay? And so he thinks differently than me. He processes information differently than me because he's half my age. Literally. And it's a beautiful thing, because what's so amazing is because we have the same mind, because we are trying to live out our lives of being found in him and being connected and knowing God, that we have the same mind, we have the same heart. And so what's beautiful is as we work together, that I can submit myself to him and we can submit ourselves to one another, and I can learn great things from him and his perspective because we have this same mind, because we're being found in him. It's relational, and it expands, it extends to the church of the living God. You get what I'm saying? Because the relationship is different, but it's similar when we are found in him. Let me go on to the next one. Verse 20. For our citizenship is in heaven. Just as Pastor Chris was talking about, we spent a year and a half talking about this upside down kingdom citizenship. Our citizenship is in heaven. And I just want to mention a word again. How can we look at these verses and not look or see at some point that there's an identity factor here? Our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you're hearing a pastor that's talking about the end times and it's doom and gloom, and I understand there's all kinds of crazy things that we have to work through and we have to deal. But Paul was saying, with all that could be going on, that we are eagerly anticipating and waiting for our Lord's return. Why? Because it's a relational reunion. There's something beautiful about being found in him and eagerly waiting for his return. It says, who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself. And I just want to mention, this being found in him, this is the internal, immaterial, inanimate portion of our spirit. It's inside out. But there's going to come a time where if we are in him and we're found in him, there's going to be a time where he's going to change this outward package too. Not only are we going to be able to be experiencing him internally now, but our external part is going to be gloriously transformed. Now, that fires me up, and I can't get distracted because I get distracted easily. Some of the babies the last service were amazing. It was like, hmm? So I can't dive into that because I'll just get lost. But it's a beautiful concept for you to consider. Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 14. I'm reading the New King James. I want to do the same thing. I want to highlight some portions of the verse because I see identity in here. I see identity all over this. Because of the resurrection power, identity should be different. Look at what it says at the end of verse 6, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Verse 13, the end of verse 13. But present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin has no dominion over you. Sin has no dominion over you. Hey, we could list tons of reasons why the resurrection matters, why the resurrection of our Lord and Savior is of the utmost importance. We can make all kinds of lists. If you followed along and you were able to watch the video lesson that we posted this week from the campus pastor of Life Church, we put that on there because that's wholeheartedly what we believe at MVC and what we are moving more and more toward. You have to go back and listen to that. If you're not taking the time, I want to implore you to please carve out some time because it's a fabulous presentation. Some of you, the Spirit of God has been wooing you and tugging on your heart for you to do more, and you have all kinds of insecurities that keep you from taking a step forward and God flowing through you in a more powerful way. So please take some time to listen to that if you haven't. But the resurrection matters. Please hear me when I say this. The resurrection matters because it should directly affect how we view ourselves. I've mentioned the word identity. In Merriam-Webster's dictionary, there's four different applications for the word identity. I'm going to focus on number one, A and B. Identity, the distinguishing character or personality of an individual. You could use the term individuality. The relationship established by psychological identification. Psychology Today puts it this way. Identity encompasses the memories, experiences, relationships, and values that create one's sense of self. This amalgamation creates a steady sense of who one is over time, even as new facets are developed and incorporated into one's identity. We might use words like self-esteem, self-concept, self-image, self-worth, self-respect. These are all terms that we might use to connect with the whole concept of identity. Now, please understand, because we are in the trenches with people, dealing with people on a regular basis, I understand that this is a very in-depth discussion. This is a very, and we could spend weeks on this, and I would love to, because this is so important. Because I see so many people, especially over the last 10 to 20 years, that have all kinds of theological information, but can't seem to make the connection between this etherical, intellectual information and it become part of a heart and soul identification. So if you're there, you're struggling with that this morning, you are not alone. And so what we are trying to do as a church family is to live out our faith in a relational way to where that makes relationship with Christ even more realistic and attainable. Because some of you come from backgrounds where it's all about do's and don'ts. It's all about lists. It's all about your good works. It's all about information. So you might kind of like what's going on here, but you may be kind of wigged out by what we're doing, because we want to study the Scripture and show ourselves to be approved. We want to be deep in the Scripture, but it's also got to be lived out in real life, in application, or it's just information. Does that make sense? Okay. We could look at this subject from so many different perspectives. We're talking about identity. We could look at biblical truth on the subject. If you don't know, from Genesis all the way through 66 books to Revelation, illustration after illustration, how relationship with God should change the way that we view ourselves. Relationship with God, faith, should affect our identity. So it's a deep, deep study. It's worthy of your consideration. But this morning, I'm going to take a very simplistic approach in our application today. Super cursory, simplistic approach. So I want us to consider two scriptures that will frame our focus on identity. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 13 in the New Living Translation says, three things that will last forever. Faith, hope, and love. And he goes on to say, the greatest of these is love. Jesus proclaimed that when they were trying to trip him up. In Matthew chapter 22, we have the record. And he says, what is it? And Jesus said, nothing's changed. It's about love. Loving God and loving others. Loving him passionately. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 3 in NLT. As we pray to our God and Father about you, may this be true of this family. We think of your faithful work, your loving deeds, and the enduring hope that you have because of our Lord Jesus Christ. The power of the resurrection matters, and it should matter to us on the most personal level, down deep in our souls. And see, this is the difference between us trying to be a church that provides space and opportunity for people to come to faith in Jesus Christ and provide space and opportunity for people to grow in Christ, because we're not trying to make anybody do anything. We're trying to study the Scriptures and we're trying to lift up Jesus, and it's a personal choice for each and every one of us. I can't make anybody but myself understand that my identity should be in Jesus and in him and what he's done. The power of the resurrection should become part of the very fiber of our identity. Our identity in Christ, our identity within ourselves, and our identity in life together. Our identity should be based on faith, hope, and love, regardless of what we face or what we experience. Faith, hope, and love are powerful words, but they should not just be words that we put on a placard in our home, but they should be concepts that affect the way that we view ourselves, and they become the most important fabric of how we view ourselves. We got something I want you to watch right now.
I met Ron on a Zoom call in 2020. He told me that after a 3-year battle with ALS, hospice care had been called in. Every morning, he asked his nurses to start his day with my song, Strong Enough. I thought I was going to be the one encouraging Ron that day. As it turned out, Ron had other plans. He spent the entire time encouraging me. His perspective on life, pain, faith, and heaven moved me to embrace this broken and beautiful, gone mad and magical, awfully wonderful life.
Thank you for letting us a few minutes with you, Ron.
Absolutely, and I want you to continue to write, continue to do everything to glorify him. No matter where I'll be, I'll hear you.
Ron from Houston, Texas, spent 3 years fighting ALS. If you knew all that he's been through, you'd hardly say he's blessed. But smiling through a phone call, he said, let me tell you, friend, this life ain't always wonderful, but what a wonderful life it's been. It'll send you flying high, It'll bring you to your knees. It's the heartbreak and the happiness and everything between. It's the laugh until it hurts. It's the hurt until you cry. Can't have one without the other. It's how you know that you're alive in this broken and beautiful, gone mad and magical, awfully wonderful life.
It's hard for me to hang on, but he's hanging on to me, and he's carrying me through this whole thing.
It's a mountain and a valley. It's a cradle and a grave. It's a blessing and a battle, and it's on any given day. It's messy and imperfect. It's a thief and it's a gift. Yeah, this life ain't always wonderful, but what a wonderful life it is. It'll send you flying high. It'll bring you to your knees. It's the heartbreak and the happiness and everything between. It's the life until it hurts. It's the hurt until you cry. Can't have one without the other. It's how you know that you're alive in this broken and beautiful, gone mad and magical, awfully wonderful life. This wonderful life. This wonderful life. Ron went home to Jesus. Got the call the other day. I sat and cried and thought about the words I heard him say. I know there is a heaven waiting for us after this. This life ain't always wonderful, but this life ain't all there is. No, this life ain't always wonderful, but this life ain't all. So let it send me flying high. Let it bring me to my knees. Bring the heartbreak and the happiness and everything between. Let me laugh until it hurts. Let me hurt until I cry. And when it comes my time to go, I'll smile and wave goodbye to this broken and beautiful, gone mad and magical, awfully wonderful life. It's a broken and beautiful, gone mad and magical, awfully wonderful life.
I am blessed, and so are you.
Liz Garber sent that out this week. Not having any idea what God was stirring in my heart and soul about the scriptures that we're looking at. If that's not a good picture of someone's identity being in Christ. And it's a good reminder that men, especially for us, God has created us a certain way, so it's easy for us to get our identity in what we do and how we provide. And yet he is such an incredible example for all of us that our identity in Christ needs to be deeper and stronger and more of a foundationally motivating factor in our lives. Because it's easy to talk about our identities in Christ when things are clicking on all the buttons that we like or our goals or whatever, but what happens when everything falls apart? Some of the people that we were helping yesterday for Madison Day, they can't do what they used to be able to do. Identity matters. the resurrection matters because of the definitive confirmation of God's desire to have a genuine relationship with each and every human being. He made a way for us to be reunited with him. His love for us was demonstrated through his son taking on the form of a man and then literally taking on our sin so that we would have the opportunity for forgiveness. When we repent and believe, the following three words become the foundation of our new identity in Christ. These words become part of our citizenship of heaven. These words become part of what makes us family. These words become the connectors of us being a fully functioning body. These words are powerful to establishing our new identity in Christ because his resurrection matters. It makes absolutely all the difference in the world. Faith. Faith, not knowledge. It doesn't say intellectual attainment, hope, and love. It says faith. Faith is relational. I have greater faith in my wife now than I ever have. Because of our interaction and our successes and our failures together, our misunderstandings and our understandings, there's a greater level of experiential trust, and that's the way it is with our Savior. Faith matters. Faith is important, and it's because of the resurrection, because he showed himself to be great on our behalf. He took victory over the grave. Hope. Hope is this confidence, this belief, and it's not just blind hope, it's hope for a reason. And it's the same way I can use her and our relationship as an example. It's experiential. I have confidence. There's a level of strength in my inner being because of the relationship that has been established through the years. And love. We are able to love because he loved us first. He gave, he sacrificed on our behalf. These concepts should, in the most simplistic way, begin to shape and affect our identity and how we view ourselves. And here's the thing. We have to learn to accept what God says about how he views us and make his words over us more important than our own twisted feelings or perspective. I don't know if I can remember it exactly. We have to begin to allow God's words to be more important poured over us than our own twisted feelings or perspective. Most of us do the worst damage to ourselves. And we create a sense of identity that's flawed, and it's based on external things, where Christ came for us to be in relationship with him. And we've been talking about it over and over again, but it's an inside-out thing. And it's supposed to affect us at the core, at the deepest level. Are faith, hope, and love just words to be used in a sentence, or are faith, hope, and love words that reflect the essence of your identity in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior? I want you to just write down 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and if you could look at it this week, it's just a reminder that the resurrection matters because it affects our identity. It affects how we view ourselves, and it affects the decisions that we make. Some of you, please hear me when I say this. The scripture that we read earlier, you're lacking identity in Christ. You don't believe that you can live in victory over sin. You still believe the old identity, the old man. You don't believe that the words of God were true, that you are no longer a slave to sin. Join the club. This is becoming a new facet of my identity in Christ for me to genuinely believe that I'm not a slave to sin. So join us. as we learn new aspects of our identity in Christ. It affects how we view ourselves, or does it? And please understand, what we're trying to do here, we're not trying to get attendance awards for people showing up. We love when people come, guests, some of you are checking us out. We are so happy that you're here. But the reason I say that is because what we are striving for is for us to believe and for us to experience Christ in a real way so that it becomes genuine on the most personal level. It changes our identity, and then when our identity is changed, and let me tell you something, this is a process. I didn't really begin to understand this until probably my mid or late 30s, and I came to Christ as a late teenager. So this whole identity issue is an ongoing challenge, and I'm learning more things about my identity in Christ right now at my age. So don't be discouraged, but you think, man, I'm just a slow, I don't get, look at me. I'm thick. I don't get things quickly. It takes me a long time. But I'm learning that my identity is in Christ. So it's got to be important to us. A relationship with God through Jesus, identity, yes, it matters. Your identity in Christ, if you are in relationship with God through Jesus. Now, let me just say, on the other side, a religion with God through our own deeds and good works and attainments, not so much. It's not really needed. Because in that type of situation, it's less about my identity here and what he's done for me and his righteousness over me. In the religious application, it's more about what I do for myself and how I make myself feel and my own accomplishments, and I got my identity covered. That's not what we're pursuing here. That's one of the reasons why we try to be honest, truthful, transparent, and open with one another. And that's why some of you, sometimes you go, oh my goodness, Pastor Tim, do you really struggle with that? Are you that messed up? Yeah. Because we're a work in progress. I'm learning more about my identity in Christ. So I want to say to you as an encouragement, if we believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, if we believe that he set himself apart as the Son of God to be the way, the truth, and the life eternally, then the resurrection power should matter to us on the most personal level, and it should affect the way that we view ourselves. We should begin to get our identity through Christ. So, Father, thank you for those kids. Oh, my goodness. Thank you for blessing us with all these children and all these young people, these young minds. And so, Father, I just plead with you on their behalf that we would be able to show them something different, that they would be able to grow up and believe that their identity is first and foremost in your Son, the work of your Spirit, for us to please you and glorify you. And so, God, I ask that you would help us today, that you would challenge, that you would, by your Spirit, do in each one of our hearts and minds whatever needs to take place for us to embrace what you say, and that our identity, the way that we view ourselves, would be changed because of the power of the love that you've shown through your Son. God, draw people to yourself. Our desire is to lift up your Son and his sacrifice and the unbelievable investment on our behalf, so that our identity, our salvation, our redemption, that forgiveness, oh God, thank you for change. And I ask, God, that you would do in this family what you want to do. And all over this region and all over the globe right now, I thank you for brothers and sisters that speak different languages that are all over the planet worshiping you as we are. They're trying to seek you and draw close to you. So God, I thank you for them, and I ask that you would add to your church those that need to be saved. Father, open our eyes today and help us to see ourselves more the way that you do. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for the great love that you've shown toward us. Thank you for the privilege of being able to respond to your love. So do what you want to do, Father. And if there's anybody here this morning that you need to talk to somebody or you need somebody to pray with you or you've got some questions that are stirring inside, when we get done singing later on and Pastor Chris does a benediction, please come find one of us. Talk, open up, share your heart. Allow us the privilege of praying with you. I can promise you that when you begin to get your identity in Christ, it's life-altering. Let's stand and worship together.